And about halfway through the meeting, I broke it, and as it was in my mouth and the ink poured down my face onto my shirt, and Dick just had this wonderful look on his face like, oh no, what have I done? But in the midst of that, I learned something, that it was all right for me to be a little afraid, to be a little nervous, to be a little anxious, because I was about to enter into a place where God was doing a mighty thing. And it's all right to be a little afraid when the Spirit of the living God is in a place. And I'll never forget that afternoon after that meeting, Dick called me into his office. And Dick had a way, when he had a what he would call a gift for you, something he wanted you to learn, something he wanted you to understand, he would bring you into his office and he'd have a good cup of Starbucks coffee sitting there waiting for you to just sit down. And there's a certain seat in Dick's old office that was kind of the gift seat, that you knew if you sat in that seat, Dick had something very important to say to you. And that afternoon he said to me, "Fear not, Alex. God is with you. You are His." You see, I think for me, what I have learned in the last year and a half through a great transition and some tremendous things that have happened here is that we have to be honest about the fact that sometimes it is absolutely frightening to be in the ministry. It's absolutely frightening that God would use each and every one of us to do the work of the living God. And our fears range from being afraid of what others think about us, to being afraid if the bishop and the district superintendent made the right decision, to being afraid if, what if God really got a hold of this thing and did something amazing? And I come to a scripture passage in John chapter 4, verse 18, that tells us a little bit about fear. It says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." The word there for drives out in Greek is a word that means something else has to replace what is there. Fear cannot just be thrown out and discarded. Something else has to come and fill that place. And for me, what I have learned is that the only thing that takes away the fear and the stress and the anxiety of doing ministry is the perfect love of God and our willingness to perfectly love as much as we are possible other people. Dick got elected bishop in July. He left here the second or third week in August. And we were told that we would be without a senior pastor until October 1st. And then a couple things came to Florida. Francis, Charlie, Ivan, and Jean. And I'll never forget the day the bishop called me, actually the DS and the bishop called and said, "It's going to be a couple more months, January 1st. But don't worry, fear not. Everything will be okay. It's only a 2,500-member church that is in the middle of a building repair campaign, and we're exploring the possibility of a middle school. It's only 45 or 50 staff, including the 300-member elementary school here on campus. I mean, don't worry, Alex." And the great thing is there was an incredible team of people that worked together every day to make sure that we did not let fear get the best of us. But it only worked because we let the perfect love of God drive out the fear. And there is one place that I have found that perfect love, and it is in prayer. If you want to know what makes this place tick, it's prayer. I was told in seminary that prayer is not changing God. Prayer is about changing us. And if we want to perfectly love God and perfectly love others, we've got to spend more time in prayer. Every weekend here on Sunday mornings, we gather in this place and we pray through this worship space. And then we go over to the sanctuary and we pray through that space. And then we go upstairs to where the children worship and we pray through that place. It's an hour or so of just praying through every single space that worship will happen here. Prayer has changed me here. Every Sunday, we pray for a different church in our community because we believe that God has called there to be mighty, strong churches all over Fort Lauderdale. That it's not about us competing with Calvary Chapel or Coral Ridge. It's about us believing this is God's assignment for Christ Church, and we have to love and support God's assignment for those other churches. We had a block party here just 2 weekends ago. 6,000 people came and celebrated Jesus with us. Free love, gift of grace. But I tell you, it wasn't that that was most powerful about that event. It was that we had lay people who gathered every week for 4 months before the event to pray through that property. And you stand out there and pray what God was going to do. Prayer changes us. But there's one prayer that I pray every day that has changed me more than any other. And it's a prayer that Dick taught me. It's a prayer that God would send us people that no one else wants. Every day, that's my prayer for Christ Church, that God would send us people that no one else wants. That's a scary prayer, because God answers that prayer. Our lay pastor for our Celebrate Recovery ministry that I work with on Friday nights told me, Alex, you can't pray that any longer. We got too many crazy people here on Friday nights. And I said, that's right. And those are God's people and God's children. Because I think not only are we afraid of the ministry, we're afraid that God might just send us people that we don't know how to deal with. We'd love to have a church full of people we like, people that are like us. But what if the church was full of people that no one else wanted? Perfect love drives out fear. It's a big church. We're going through a lot of transition. I praise God that God has sent us Phil, and I'm looking forward to you talking with him tomorrow and him sharing a little bit about what's going on here now. And you know, I could focus on all the people I don't know here, because every Sunday there are people who walk in this door. I have no idea who they are. There's too many people. But I'll never forget what someone told me once, a mentor of mine. He said, Alex, you know those people. You know something about every single person that walks in your church. You might not know their name, you might not know where they work, you might not know about their family, but you know the most important thing about them. And that is they are lonely, in need of a place to belong, and they're a sinner just like you. And if you look at them in the eye and believe that about them, then the perfect love of God that shines through you can give them a place to have hope and to be transformed. My prayer for all of you is that the perfect love of the living God might drive out any fear that is in within you, so that we might, as a church united, stand as a lighthouse to the world, shouting from the mountaintops that God's love can take away the fear that exists in people, to the glory of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Alex, for sharing your heart and life with us and giving us some insight to what's happening here through transition. And Lord, bless you. Thank you. Well, I want to share something with you that every leader needs to learn. That's you. In every adversity, there is a striking opportunity. Say that with me, please. In every adversity, there is a striking opportunity. When Margie and I were starting New Hope Community Church and meeting in all kinds of facilities, we were kicked out, burned out, sold out. Everything happened. One Saturday, the church burnt down that we were using, which was an Adventist church. Good thing it happened on Saturday, because we didn't have any insurance. If it happened on Sunday, we'd have had to pay for it with no insurance. They had insurance. They got a new building. But in every time, we found a better place to move to, because in every adversity, there is a striking opportunity. Now, when adversity comes, don't waste time feeling sorry for yourself. Don't wallow around in self-pity. But ask God to immediately give you a better, bigger idea, and go for it. Yesterday morning at 9 o'clock, we received a call from Bill Eason, sick with the flu. So bad that he left his home and went to a hotel so his wife wouldn't catch it. 103 fever. So we said to him, Bill, we don't want you to risk your health. In fact, we've already sent you the money. We want you to keep it and just relax and get well. And our prayers are with Bill today. Opportunity. You got to sleep an hour longer this morning. You got to walk on the beach. Wonderful opportunity, right? Now, some of you are still a little stunned. You're back here with Bill. God's going to take care of Bill. And we're going to have a great day today. Greater things than these. You can read Bill's book. You can read the notes there. And with God's blessing, one of these days, you'll get to hear Bill. We'll have him back again in the Beeson Institute. Because I love Bill. But what greater things are we going to have today? We're going to have Sally here in a little bit, and she's going to push the edges. New ideas, new images about worship. Oh, you're going to love that. And some of you are going to get pushed out of your comfort zone. So we'll have a little Q&A afterwards, maybe, see if we can kind of help you come along in your comfort zone. Now, what are we going to do with the rest of the time today? Greater things than these. What would be the striking opportunity? Well, guess what? We have four pastors that have been through the Beeson program that have each one done a tremendous job of leading their church through change, which we're talking about this week. And they've turned around their church and made it a live church, each one differently. Different parts of the country, different denominations, different story. So at 1 o'clock today, these four are going to come right up here, and in 12 minutes each, they're going to tell the story of their turnaround church. And we're going to learn a lot from that. And then we're going to let you write any question you want to ask about their turnaround church or transition, and we'll come back on Friday. And after Lance Watson, who is a great African-American leader and pastor, I've been to his church in Virginia. He preaches four services on Sunday morning, different age groups. And he told me he preaches the same sermon, but it's different in every service because he adapts it to that generation. And he's going to talk about preaching to different generations. You won't want to miss that. But we're going to have a panel, these same four turnaround pastors, and I'll lead the panel. And we'll ask your questions and my questions, and we'll have a great time of learning together from these four outstanding young turnaround pastors. So it sounds like a great day, doesn't it? And then this afternoon, we'll get in our cars, and we're going to go over to Calvary Chapel, which started 20 years ago in the pastor's living room. Four people. Last weekend, 17,000 people there. Now, if you can do that in 20 years, there must be something there that we can learn, right? That will help us break out to reach more people for Jesus Christ. Well, God's with us. It's going to be a great day. Let's, one more time, learn a lesson. In every adversity, look for what? Striking opportunity. Every adversity has a striking opportunity. Write it down. You need it. You're going to have to use it. Always look for that striking opportunity. Don't waste time feeling sorry for yourself or wallowing around, but immediately ask, oh God, help me to find something bigger, better, greater in this opportunity. Amen? Amen. Are you out of shock yet? You ready to say amen? Okay. Great. Okay. We want to show you something coming in the future. We're going to go country. We're going to Nashville in April. So let's take a look. And Margie, you want to come up here? And we'll get ready to meet Margie right after this.
For the typical ministry family, Sundays are not a time for you to arrive together at church or worship together. Sometimes you're both there and you don't even see each other until everyone else has gone home. In the busyness of ministry, how do you care for your own souls as leaders? How do you keep growing in your own marriage, even as you minister to the needs of others? The challenges and pressures of ministry have never been greater, but specialized help and refreshment are available for you through the Beeson Institute for Advanced Church Leadership at our next gathering called Balancing Your Personal Life. Designed for you and your spouse, these four important days will not just renew and recharge you, they'll also help you establish a new sense of balance and health and hope. Your hosts, Dale and Margie Galloway, will talk honestly about what they've learned over the years in a message called Investing in Your Love Bank. Each of them will also host a smaller, more interactive workshop session. Nationally known authors Les and Leslie Parrott, in their humorous but vulnerable way, will teach you how to have a good fight and will work through some of the myths of ministry and marriage. They too will lead a smaller, more interactive workshop session. Maxie Dunham, veteran pastor and former seminary president, will fill you with hope as he talks about self-care for pastors and spouses. Lutheran pastor Marta Poling Golden will lead a session on situations where both spouses are in ministry. Noted authority Archibald Hart will give you sound help with overcoming stress and anxiety to build a safe haven for your marriage. Pete and Jerry Scazzaro will talk from their book, The Emotionally Healthy Church, about how you can be a more emotionally healthy leader. And Focus on the Family's pastor to pastor, H.B. London, will remind you of how much God cares about you and how much God wants you to have a healthy, balanced personal life. Our Balancing Your Personal Life gathering is more than workshops and plenary messages. Included in your registration cost is a riverboat dinner and show, and several other special times together, including an evening of worshipful entertainment with the Rick Webb Trio as they lift your spirits in song and relaxing fellowship. Under the expert leadership of Dale Galloway, you and your spouse will find help, wholeness, balance, and hope. Journey with us to the Opryland Hotel in Nashville, a unique complex with plenty of scenic walking paths. Your time here will be an investment with huge, long-term dividends. You'll find the boundaries and balance you need at the Balancing Your Personal Life module of the Beeson Institute for Advanced Church Leadership. Register now. Call toll-free 888-5-BEESON. It's time to balance your personal life.
The reason I'm smiling today is that Margie came in last night, and she is my very best friend, and we've been married for 32 years. Is that right? 33 years? Oh, well, you know, it goes by so fast. And
you might need this module.
Well, you know, you've been over in Africa, and I've been traveling around, so we got to kind of get back together here again, you know. And I guess we're going to go on a little boat trip here tomorrow. That'll be fun. Yeah, okay. Ooh, all right. Well,
we do want to invite you especially to come to this next Beeson Institute. And we want you to really make just an effort to bring your spouse. We feel like that, Dale and I feel like that in ministry, it's so important that you have a healthy marriage. And a lot of times we sacrifice our marriages for the ministry. And I don't believe that's God's design for us. So we'd like you to find your pink sheet in the back of your booklet there. And we want you to sign up. And when you go home, if you don't have your wife with you here, you go home, we want you to invite your spouse, or your, if you're a you can either have a man spouse or a woman spouse, whichever. And we want you to invite them to join you for this great week. And it's so exciting to come as a couple, because I think oftentimes when we leave our spouse behind, they don't always get the whole picture of what God is doing in your life. And we want you to come as a couple, and you will be so blessed and inspired by all the speakers and just by taking the time to be at the Opryland Hotel together. It's a wonderful place for us to go. So Dale and I are giving you this special invitation, and we want you to come and be with us. We will look forward to that at the end of April.
Good. Thank you. And your sheets that you're filling out, your pink sheets, there'll be boxes over here all day long that you can put those right in. And all right. Lord, we just thank you for what you're doing today in our lives and how you have chosen us, called us to ministry. We're so excited about being in ministry, and Lord, we love to worship you. Thank you for Sally, who is here to teach us and lead us in learning about new ways to worship and exalt your name and bring your presence into our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It is a joy to have once again with us Sally Morgenthaler, and she is a wonderful person when it comes to leading the church into new images about worship. Her book on worship evangelism, a great book. I've read that and enjoyed it a lot. And Sally, it's good to have you here. I understand you have consented to take a few Q&A afterwards today. All right? Come on, let's give her a welcome.
I'm so honored to be here. Had such a fantastic time here. I think it was 3 years ago, and I've been at Asbury Seminary. I'm sure some of you know where that is. Excuse me while I get myself all put together, which is an impossibility, I assure you, but I can at least attempt. I get overwhelmed when I am in the presence of leaders who are building God's kingdom. I just want you to know that I'm here for you today, and I'm here with a heart of gratitude for you, for what you're doing in God's kingdom. I have been in all kinds of facets of ministry. I have been a worship leader for many years, a pastor's spouse, pastor's kid's mom, seen ministry from a lot of different sides, and I travel the country and I work with leaders from churches of about 30 up to 3,000, 4,000, 10,000, 20,000. I am continually amazed and so thankful for what God is doing in the local church. And if there is anything that you get from me, I just want you to know that gratitude in my heart. And also that I believe that God has given you everything that you need to do what he's calling you to do right now, today. And so often we forget that. I have forgotten that. I think if only I could have this church's tech crew. If only I could have this church's sound guy. If only I could have this church's bass player, or if I could only just have that church. Please, God, you planted me with the wrong folks. I have been so blind in my own ministry that so many times I've not seen the gifts of God at my doorstep. And so I want to encourage you today, no matter where you are in your walk of faith and your journey in ministry, and it is tough. I have been around it, through it, in it, behind it, running away from it, enough to know how tough it is. When the structures of our societies are crumbling, guess who gets to be the safety net? You do. That is a high calling, but we are humans, and we are limited. And it just gets really tough just to kind of hold all that. And I forgot how to give that all up to Jesus and to trust Jesus for what I needed. I want to call you to that today. And let's begin this time in prayer. Lord, you alone are worthy of glory. You